Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Otherwise known as that idiot on the radio. Thank you very much. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. And here is the game plan, ladies and gentlemen. We're probably going to get back to that whole borrowing money thing in the 5 o'clock hour, along with some other kind of nifty topics that I've been wanting to do. But right now, and actually in the hour ahead, I have set aside time because, frankly, it has been a while since you've had the opportunity to ask of Dr. Jane Orient, the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, questions about, well, I think you know, COVID. And here's the deal, my friends. I could talk with Dr. Orient for hours, but I enjoy your phone calls because you come up with questions of which I might never have thought. And I consider it really kind of cool to brainstorm with you guys and figure out where you guys are. I mean, anything's got to be better than listening to me drone for 4 hours a day. So if you have questions and you wish to speak with a real live physician, I invite your calls for Dr. Jane Orient at 803-0930. That's 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I do strongly advise that you call early because usually what happens, and it breaks my heart, I can barely sleep at night. The effervescence of my grief is bubbling so much in my brain that I have to leave people on hold, and I don't like doing that. So the sooner you call, the sooner we can get you on, and you can rest assured that your question has been answered. Again, the phone number, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And joining us live from the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, Dr. Jane Orient. Doctor, good to speak with you again.
Always good to talk to you, Tom.
So since last we have spoken, Omicron has gained, obviously, notoriety and ground in the United States. Question number one, could Omicron actually be a good thing? Could it be nature's vaccine, as has been speculated by that cardiologist and internal medicine specialist from Israel?
I think it could well be, because if it causes a mild infection and it's extremely contagious and almost everybody gets it, then they have an opportunity to develop antibodies to many different parts of the virus, unlike just to the spike protein, which your body is forced to make by the COVID vaccines.
Doctor, we keep on hearing, okay, you know, Omicron is highly contagious, but it can still kill you. How effective of an argument is that, or what truth is there to that? How concerned should we be about the potentially fatal outcome from Omicron?
Well, I think we know that it's very contagious just from looking at how many people are getting it and from the viral load that they have in their noses. It can kill you. I mean, any virus probably can kill you, even the common cold, depending on a lot of circumstances. And these days, we're attributing a lot of deaths to COVID that may actually be due to something else. So I think we don't really know. I don't know that we have proved that anyone has died of it yet, but somebody probably will.
You said, and I remember this must have been 6 months ago now, you said on this program, the job of a virus is to mutate. And typically the pattern is, as a virus mutates, it becomes more contagious, but it becomes less lethal. And is there any reason, doctor, to believe that COVID will be any different than the general run of viruses?
Well, there's no reason to believe that it would be any different. I mean, I wouldn't say that a virus has a job. I mean, it's a chemical thing. But I think that viruses get wiped out if they don't become less lethal, because if they're killing off all their host, then they've got no factories to make more viruses.
But the can you give us examples of other viruses you've seen during your career which have diminished in terms of their capacity to harm human beings over time with variation?
And this is really hard to say, because when a disease is first discovered, then you're only picking up the really severe cases. Otherwise, you probably don't notice. So the first cases that you notice are very severe, and then as you become accustomed to looking for the disease, you'll pick up less severe cases. So you can't really tell whether the disease has gotten less severe or you've just become more astute in your diagnosis.
Mm. You know, doctor, one of the things that I want to bounce off of you, and I really want to get into this with you, and I'm sure other people are going to have questions about it, but we're continually told that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and one would therefore believe that the people in the ICU, the people taking up hospital beds, that you might see 90% of those people being unvaccinated and maybe 10% being vaccinated. But the last statistics I saw from Erie County, New York, it was more 60% were unvaccinated and 40% were vaccinated. In other words, it wasn't so clear cut that it was a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Are those statistics being replicated elsewhere?
I think in much of the rest of the world, you see that the most vaccinated countries have the most cases, and the majority of cases in the hospital are vaccinated. Another problem, besides just obscuring the statistics and lying, is changing the definition of vaccinated, that if you have had one shot, you're unvaccinated. If you had two shots, but it's been less than 14 days ago, you're unvaccinated. And soon it will be, if you've had two shots and it's been more than 14 days, but you haven't had your booster yet, and not enough time has elapsed, you're unvaccinated. So people might become unvaccinated several times.
Indeed. Can we talk, before we go to some telephone calls here, Dr. Orient, can we talk about boosters? Because I've noticed a very interesting thing happening in the past couple of weeks, and that is this. People in healthcare have contacted me and they've said, hey, I was a good citizen. I went and I got myself vaccinated, fully vaccinated as a healthcare provider. But now they're coming after us in New York State with boosters for COVID, and boosters are the hill upon which I'm willing to die. Just based on what you know about the mindset of the healthcare professional, what is it about this idea of the boosters that has people saying, no, 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 I did the vaccine, but no booster, I'm done?
I think they feel that they've been lied to and pressured. But the other thing is that we've noticed that with each time you get the vaccine, the adverse effects tend to be more severe. The first shot, a lot of people get, and they feel almost nothing. The second shot, at least in the preclinical trials with the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, almost everybody was getting symptoms severe enough to keep them off work from the second booster. And then people say, well, what's going to happen with the next one? Am I getting more sensitized to the shot every time I get it? Will the next one be fatal? Will the next one cause one of those lifelong disabilities that we see listed on the openvares.com website? So I think that they're losing faith in the medical establishment, and they're seeing with their own eyes probably more and more people coming into the emergency room after their shots with very nasty things happening to them.
Have you any update on the situation with pericarditis, myocarditis, and Bell's palsy as a result of, apparently the result of vaccination?
Well, I think the numbers keep increasing every week. The openvirus.com website is updated every week, and the numbers are not. Well, of course, they're going to increase, I guess, because they're cumulative. But there's no sign that these are leveling off. And we see more reports in the literature, and more people are beginning to ask, well, should we be actively looking for this, even if people don't have symptoms? Like after the first shot, should you be checking your cardiac enzyme? Should you be checking your C-reactive protein, your CRP, or other inflammatory markers? Should you even be doing an ultrasound of the heart before you get the second shot, especially if the patient is a young male who is active in sports?
Mm. Dr. Orient, and one more thing before we start taking some telephone calls, Dr. Jane Orient is with us, and she is the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, kind enough to join us on News Radio 930 WBEN. In terms of Bell's palsy, my understanding is with Bell's palsy, that typically affects one or the other side of the face, and that is one of the most difficult neurological conditions to gain permanent relief from. Is that correct?
I don't know about the permanent relief. I mean, a lot of neurological conditions are with you for a long, long time. I think Bell's palsy typically gets better and sometimes completely resolves. It just takes time. There are treatments, including steroids, that may speed recovery. So, I mean, it's not a desperate situation. And I think most people can expect to get at least somewhat better.
Well, that's good news. Dr. Jane Orient, one more thing, and that is this. And this, you know, we're going to cross into the realm of politics, but I can't help myself. What I don't understand about New York State and other states like it is this. New York State terminated healthcare workers who refused to be vaccinated. Let those healthcare workers go, thus creating a staffing shortage in hospitals across New York State because that reservoir of talent from doctors to nurses to linen service people had been exhausted. Yet, at the same time, as New York State sent people home who were not vaccinated against a disease they did not have, New York State changed its protocol on bringing back healthcare workers who actually have COVID itself to work with patients. Can you address that medically and ethically?
Well, it sounds pretty absurd, doesn't it?
It's nuts.
Justify putting sick people on the job and sending healthy people home. The other problem is that they have such a shortage that they are maybe calling in the National Guard. And at least one report from the ground from a physician in Ohio said this is just chaos. You have people coming in who don't know where anything is, who are there maybe for a short period of time, a shift or two, and then they're off to another state. So you have people that even though they may have some medical training, they are not accustomed with your institution, with your healthcare health record system, your electronic health system, or even where they get their IV solutions. So it really does not work well to have people who are not permanently on the job in your institution.
Well, anybody who works for a living can relate to that. I've worked in this building for 20 years. I still don't know where we keep the paper clips. They seem to be like a vanishing species. Dr. Jane Orient is with us. Pasquale Maggiore is at Master Control. And your telephone questions for Dr. Jane Orient, 803-0930, if you prefer, 803-0930. Star 930 on the cell phone and toll-free 1-800-616-WBEN. Tony in Clarence is first up today, and you are on WBEN. Welcome, Tony.
Yes. Dr. Orion, have we ever really found out what was the cause of the initial COVID-19? And my second point is, on television this morning, they pointed out that there were 3,129 deaths, the most that we've had this year. And why would we have so many deaths that would be there? And just what about the origin of COVID-19? Have we ever found any of this out? Thank you, Dr. Orion.
Our phone kind of broke up a little bit there, but you want to respond to the caller?
I'm not sure I completely understood the question.
I have no idea what he was talking about with the 3,129. So let's stick with question number one. Do we definitively know the origin of COVID-19? Because the last I've checked, it is pretty much accepted that it escaped from the Wuhan Virological Lab and that it was man-made. Do you have different information?
Well, there's a lot of evidence that the sequence of the in the viral RNA is very unusual, and it is the sort of thing that people do concoct in the laboratory, but it's not found in nature. I think they've tried to find this particular strain in about 50,000 animals and have so far not been able to do so. I mean, we know that research was going on and that the laboratory was not very secure, and there's certainly been a lot of effort to obfuscate and cover up and hide connections like patents and research grants and that sort of thing. So I think it is very likely that this is a human-made product and not a product of nature.
Is there any way, without getting too much into the scientific weeds, will there be any way to definitively prove that, maybe, in an international court?
I think that's a difficult question to answer. You need to have access to all of the evidence, all of the material. Many times I think there may not be a chain of custody for one sample. There were samples sent around the world from one laboratory to another. Manipulations may have been done and documentation not preserved. I think it may be difficult to pin the accusation on any particular people. I think it's easy to obfuscate things when there's such complex science involved. So I don't know. I mean, what are we going to do if we find out? I mean, we're not going to bomb the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Obviously, what good would that do?
No, I was kind of thinking maybe civil claims at the international court against China. I do believe that China should be held financially responsible for the damage it has done to the world if, in fact, we can trace this to the Wuhan laboratory. I think that they need to be held accountable.
Well, That's easy to say that you think they should be held accountable and we should charge them $10 trillion, but really, how are you going to make them pay?
Well, therein lies the rub. It is 3:26 at News Radio 930 WBEN. It is Bowerly. Dr. Jane Orient is with us. She is the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And your telephone calls, your questions, your comments for Dr. Orient at 803-0930. That's 803-0930. Star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, as you know, when we have physicians on, Dr. Orient cannot be your teledoc. She cannot be your personal consultant, but many of you have very good questions about the COVID situation with Omicron and boosters and everything else, and she's a tremendous resource upon whom you may prevail as she's on the air. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Bowerly with Dr. Jane Orient on WBEN.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Tommy would be the first name, or Tom if you prefer. I had a wonderful time last night at the Weber VFW post in Lackawanna. Had a chance to be at the meeting of the 1791 Society and hang out with Frank Panasek and my friend Mayor Deborah Rogers of the village of Williamsville. And, you know, the funny thing is, I just want to make a quick point here. There are those people who say, Mayor Rogers, she was taking the stand she has taken because she wanted attention. Do you know why Mayor Rogers took the stand against vaccine mandates? She took the stand because I texted her, these mandates end when elected officials like you stand up and demand they end. She was not looking for attention. I pushed her into this position. So if you're going to blame anybody, blame me. And quite frankly, I don't need any extra attention. But I'm glad that Mayor Rogers was there. She wowed the room. And I guess as somebody who's on the inside of the situation, I laugh when I hear the misinformation that is put out there about Deborah. I'm the one who is responsible, for good or for ill. I'm the one who pushed this. It's my village. I own it. That's a little wishful thinking. All right. Well, my family used to own a lot of it anyway. Welcome. It is 338. Then they sold it and bought 1883 Niagara Street in Buffalo, which I can never figure out. Anyway, welcome to the program. It's Bowerly, and Dr. Jane Orient is the executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. And we're taking your telephone calls. And if you are just joining us, yes, I am aware my voice is hoarse. And if you haven't been listening to the show, basically what it is it's a very major staph infection of my sinuses. I'm taking off next Tuesday to have it scoped again to see if the antibiotics, the horse pills I'm taking, are having any effect whatsoever on the infection. There's nothing wrong with my throat. There's no polyps. There's no tumor. No nothing. It sounds bad, and I apologize for that, but I just cannot. I feel fine. I can't justify calling my boss and saying, Tim, I can't come in today when I feel fine. Now, when I absolutely cannot talk, I'll have no option but to call in and just not work, but I just want to let you know, I'm on it. I'm on amoxicillin. I'm on prednisone. And the ENT is going to take another look at the scope on Tuesday to figure out where we stand. And I'm sorry, this is extremely frustrating for me on a level that I can't even explain. Okay? You know what it's like when you feel fine, but you don't sound fine? Yeah, that's where I am. And I'm not going to lie, it is somewhat depressing. And it is frustrating, and I'm sorry that I don't sound better. I think I sound a little bit better today, but I've also had a lot of guests and a lot of calls, so that makes it a little bit easier. So that's the deal. I'm not bitching. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you it is what it is, and I want to let you know what it is so nobody starts spreading some stupid rumors. Okay, let's get back to the calls. I mean, if you're going to spread rumors, at least could you please include rumored to be connected to organized crime? Could you at least use that one? At least that gives me like a mystique. rumored to be connected to organized crime. Thank you. I'd appreciate that. All right, let's get back to the calls. It'd be great for the acting career, too. Here's Brian in Amherst. Brian, you're on WBEN.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
My question is in regards to the PCR tests. With all the different variants that are coming out or have come out, how is it that the PCR test that wasn't initially intended to, you know, diagnose COVID or pick up COVID, how is it that that is the test that's being used to determine the different variants?
That is a very interesting question. I don't want you to hang up because I think there might be a follow-up. Dr. Orient?
I don't know whether the PCR test determines what variant it is. I think they have to completely sequence whatever they get out of you to see whether it's a different variant or not. I don't think they can say, okay, we did your test and you have Delta, you have Alpha, you have Omicron. I don't think they can do that.
And one of the questions that I must follow up with then, Dr. Orient, is scientifically speaking, is there a number of genomically fully sequenced tests that would have to be completed in order to establish the prevalence of Omicron or Delta in a given population?
Well, I think they sample the population. They don't do the sequencing on everybody. They sample the population and give an estimate of statistically what the likelihood is there. I mean, there's not just one variant. There are a huge number of different sequences, and they sort of group them, and they're sort of similar, and they compare this fragment with that fragment and try to come up with some opinion about what's going on. But it's a very complex thing, and I think that it's not necessarily very well worked out yet.
Brian, just out of curiosity, what caused you to ask that particular question?
I've had issues with the whole PCR test from the beginning because the creator of the PCR test said it was never intended to diagnose COVID. So when I was told that I had to take the test to, you know, in order to get another procedure done, I started asking questions like, you know, what is it being cycled at? Because the creator said it had to be cycled between, you know, a certain number. So I actually called the lab that was supposed to do the work or the workup on it and see, you know, if I tested positive for COVID before my procedure or not. And they said, we're not allowed to tell you what we cycle it at. So from there, it's just been full bore. I'm just looking into like, if it doesn't make sense, it just doesn't make sense. And when the creator said it doesn't make sense to use that, I'm just wondering how these numbers got where they're at.
All right, that's fair enough. Dr. Orient, have you any thoughts on that?
Well, they won't tell you the cycle threshold, and yet that is absolutely essential to know whether they have just magnified a piece of dust a trillion times or an old cold germ 1,000 times, or whether if the cycle threshold is less than 25, there's a good chance that they'd be able to get something infectious out of you. I think a lot of the public health departments are using at least 35 cycles or more, and that's probably meaningless.
Let's get back to the calls. Dr. Jane Orient, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and it's Mike in... by the way, you don't have to be a medical professional. You can join as kind of like an ancillary member. Here's Mike in Wheatfield on WBEN. Hello.
Hello. I read a study in South Africa done in December 2021 that if you delay the Johnson & Johnson booster shot for 8 to 9 months, it increases the number of T cells 4 to 5 times. Now, does this also apply to people who got the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines?
Any knowledge of that, doctor?
No, I'm not familiar with that study, but I can just say that T cells are very important in your immunity, and if you have been infected with a virus, you probably have some, and they may persist for a long, long time in tiny numbers, but they really multiply when stimulated by exposure to the virus. So that, though they are much more, I think, much better measures of your true immunity than just the antibodies, which will wane with time.
Thank you kindly for the call. Dr. Jane Orient is with us, 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Lee is awaiting us in Orchard Park. Lee, you're on. Hello.
Hi, Tom and Dr. Orient. My question is, why are we using the term COVID vaccine when it should be called a COVID shot, like a flu shot? I submit that the U.S. Army is developing a true COVID vaccine. Your thoughts?
Well, there's been a lot of controversy about this, and they did have to change the definition of vaccine to fit this in. I mean, usually a vaccine exposes you to a pathogen or a killed one or an attenuated one, and so your body then makes antibodies to the antigens that are on the pathogen. With this, they're injecting you with genetic material that hijacks your cellular machinery to make a piece of the virus, the antigen that you're supposed to become immune to. So it really is a form of gene therapy. They don't want to have that in the name, and I guess it's supposed to generate antibodies. It doesn't prevent transmission the way vaccines are supposed to do. So yeah, this is a really, really hot controversy about this.
And can you address, as somebody who's been a physician for quite some time, how many breakthrough cases of measles, mumps, or rubella you've had to deal with as a physician or are known in the literature? Because breakthrough cases with this particular shot seem to be very, very common, and those with the MMR shots don't seem to be so common.
Well, that's true, but they do occur, and we may call a breakthrough immunization with measles. I don't think we've really called it a breakthrough. It suggests that the immunity wears off, the immunity wanes. You might call it vaccine failure. None of the vaccines are perfect in this regard, but the COVID product seems to be a whole lot worse.
How about the other products that apparently are in the pipeline? For example, the pill, as well as what is it called, Novavax?
Yeah, Novavax is still a spike protein thing. It's still genetically engineered. It's just that a moth cells makes the spike protein, and so they inject the spike protein into you instead of the genetic material that causes you to make it. And this theoretically would be safer, except that it still involves a spike protein that may attach to your normal cells and make you immune to yourself or make your immune system attack your own tissues.
Dr. Jane Orient is with us. Here's Larry in Kenmore on WBEN. Larry, go right ahead with your question.
Hi, folks. I have a friend who has a permanent tracheotomy. He breathes through the apparatus in his neck. Is he still possibly able to contract or transmit the virus, and how would he be tested?
An interesting question.
Well, I'm not sure what the tracheotomy has to do with it. Apparently this is transmitted mainly through the nose, and then it crawls down to your lungs and infects those, so I'm not sure I understand the question.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I'd never quite thought of that. I mean, obviously everybody has their own unique medical situation and their own circumstances, but I'd never quite thought about the idea of a trach having anything to do one way or the other with COVID, unless I'm missing something. Dr. Jane Orient is with us with the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. In the hour ahead, we're going to welcome Dr. Peter McCullough onto the program, answering more of your questions as we're information central today with people who presumably know of what they speak. Here's Mark in Sheldon, New York. Mark, you're on WBEN.
Yes, hello. I would like the doctor to expand on the difference between the Pfizer-Moderna shot and the Johnson & Johnson. From everything I've read, they're very different technology, and I think that it would be helpful for people to understand the difference.
Fair question.
Okay, well, all of them cause your body to make spike protein, and then you're supposed to get antibodies to the spike protein. The Pfizer and the Moderna shots use messenger RNA, which is encased in some sort of lipid nanoparticle envelope to get it into the cell, and then that works on your mitochondria, and they make the and your ribosomes, and they make the spike protein. The Johnson & Johnson uses an adenovirus vector. That adenovirus is a cold virus that for some other species, and it doesn't really give human beings a cold, but it does get the DNA into the nucleus of your cell, or it gets the genetic material into the nucleus of your cell. And then you generate the messenger RNA that goes out and makes the spike protein.
Dr. Orient, with everything that we've had over the last 2 years, what, in your opinion, is the biggest misconception the media has put forth regarding coronavirus, COVID-19?
I think they've given everybody the impression that if you get it, you're probably going to die. And then if you get the vaccine, you may still get it, but you probably won't die. And the vaccine is safe and effective, safe and effective. They say that over and over and over again. If you get myocarditis, it will be probably mild, and it's very rare. And Peter McCullough, I think if you're listening to him next, will certainly contradict that. It's never a mild thing to get your heart muscle inflamed and have your heart cells being dying off and replaced with a fibrous tissue or scar tissue.
Yeah, especially for some of us who don't have a real good start on cardiac issues to begin with. Here's Brian in Derby. You're on WBEN, Brian, with Dr. Jane Orient.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Dr.
Hello. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Doctor, concerning the previous comments about the PCR test. First, one small question. What does PCR mean?
Polymerase chain reaction.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering what that stood for.
Matches whatever they pick up from your nose with fragments of genetic material from some primer. And, you know, they use different primers, and it's really sort of black magic. In my view, I don't, and I think that a lot of, most people do not understand it at all.
Well, I wouldn't use the nasal test anyways because it's sterilized with ethylene oxide, which is number 3 on the list of carcinogens. That's just insane that they would expect people to stick this stuff up by their brain, you know. But the one concerning the test, I mean, I've read a report that is that the rapid test or is that a different test?
Well, the rapid antigen test is something else, and it kind of looks like a pregnancy test, and you just the outer part of your nostrils and put it with.
Well, I've read a report developing the rapid test that one of the reasons they're so notoriously inaccurate is because, and don't quote me on the numbers, that the number of cycles that they use for testing is way less than what it's supposed to be. You know,
All right. We're kind of running short on time here. Thank you for the call. Can you address the accuracy of the rapid test versus the PCR test?
No, and I've not seen published figures on this, but the other thing is that no matter how accurate the test is, the percentage of false positive depends very heavily on how many people are infected in the population. If you are massively testing mostly healthy people, most of your positive tests will be false positives. That's just a statistical fact that applies to every diagnostic test that there is.
By the way, how's the flu doing this year?
I guess we're maybe going to find out if we have accurate tests for the flu.
Yeah, because we used to hear a lot about the flu, and now not so much. Last I heard, the flu vaccine wasn't exactly a winner this year either. Dr. Jane Orient, always a pleasure to be joined by your wisdom and knowledge, and we certainly invite people to check out the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, which I believe is a beacon of light in a dark and misleading world, and I thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Dr. Jane Orient, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Now, if you're on hold for Dr. Orient, don't go anywhere. Because coming up in the next hour, we don't usually do this. I don't usually do guest, but today has nothing to do with my throat. We will do exactly that. Dr. Peter McCullough is going to be with us. Dr. McCullough, born Oh, a few years before I was at Kenmore Mercy Hospital, or maybe a couple of years after I was. I can't recall at this point. But he was born right here in Buffalo, New York, and he's now one of the leading experts regarding the COVID situation, and he is into cardiology. So if you have especially, I mean, it doesn't have to be limited to this, but if you have questions about the vaccine and COVID and your cardiac situation, we'll take your telephone calls. Dr. McCullough, he's very well read up, as is Dr. Orient, and frequently will give you various footnotes and little bits of information that you can use to look up stuff yourself. Now, he also is a very popular guest on this show, so I suggest that if you have a question for Dr. Peter McCullough, you might want to get in and stay on hold, or just try your luck after the news. It's really up to you. I don't like keeping people on hold any longer than I have to. I try to be considerate of your time to the greatest degree possible.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.